and supporting and platforming all the organisations that matter across the Northwest as well. We are broadcasting live from the Radisson Hotel here in Letterkenny. We're here, of course, till 12 noon, as you can imagine. The Letterkenny Community Health Forum is hosting a health and wellbeing event here. It's open to everyone. It started at 10. It runs till 3. There are talks from 11 on various issues, smoking cessation, alcohol, mental and physical health. It's about raising awareness of what services are available to you out there. It's not just Letterkenny. Of course, this is Letterkenny focused at the moment because it's being broadcast from here. But there are plenty of statutory, i.e. state-funded or state-backed services, plenty of community services as well, available right across the region for the public, no matter what your ages are. And there are dozens of services in the Letterkenny area and surrounds with information stands here right now. You can come and get a diabetes check. You can come and get your blood pressure checked. That's happening here as well. And as I mentioned, four talks later on. And some of those services that are available to people out there include working with our youth. Gareth Gibson, Youth Information Manager with Donegal Youth Services. Good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. Good to be here.
Talk to us about, or remind us of, and for those listening for the first time, what the role of Donegal Youth Services is.
Okay, well, we're a regional youth service. We're linked in with Youth Work Ireland nationally, and we provide a really comprehensive and holistic approach to providing services and supports for young people right across the county. We have a huge number of young people engaged through a network of youth clubs out and around the communities, and they're supported by what we call basically the foundation of youth work is the valuable volunteers that come and support our young people right around the county, week in, week out. Then you go into our own services, our own projects. We have a raft of those available. And if anybody wants to swing in here today and have a wee chat to us, we'll give you loads of information, loads of stuff to take away on that. But I suppose to frame it a couple, I have Laura with me today. And Laura is working within the Elevate 55 project, formerly The Loft. So that will be one that's very much in the limelight within the Letterkenny area.
Before we get to that and talk to Laura, give us some examples. What's the R Group, for example?
Our group is a fantastic group. It's a group that was launched recently, and it's a kind of a social group for young people with autism. So Porrick Bell leads out on that, and it's going, Greg, from strength to strength. The young people themselves actually named the group, because a lot of times there can be difficulties in there in terms of what terminology we use with things. So we were kind of struggling with that in terms of what should we even call the group?
And you don't want to come across as clinical either.
Exactly.
Do you? You
know,
you
don't 100%. Yeah. It's very much fun.
Yeah.
You know, we try to bring the fun to the health aspect of things in the work that we do. And our group is there to support those young people. In fact, we're actually launching a younger group, younger cohort now, which with little or no real advertising has filled up already.
Brilliant.
So it shows you there's a demand out there and we're very happy to meet it.
Yeah, and there is a community there of parents that are very supportive of each other and very, you know, and they're leading a lot of campaigns as well. Mm. So as soon as someone gets wind of something, I can see very quickly how, especially being able to lean on the success of the R program, how it would be, you know, subscribed to so quickly. Mm. What about... you know, there's another initiative I have, which I haven't talked about before, that's one I picked this one out, the arts group. That's also proving quite popular. What's that about?
Well, I think I should let Laura answer that one now, because
right, okay.
That's her group, and she's sitting right beside me, and I don't want to sell it short.
That's all right. Laura, it is Laura Byrne, Elevate 50... Get your hands off my knobs, Joe. Laura Byrne, Elevate 55 youth worker with Donegal Youth Services. Right, okay, so talk to me about Elevate 55 and then we'll get on to the arts group.
Wonderful. So the art group runs on a Tuesday evening. We work with our juniors who are 8 to 11 years old from 5 p.m. till 6 p.m. and then our senior group from ages 12 up to 18 from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. So the idea of the group, it's a social group with art being kind of the common theme that everyone has a common interest in. Every week we choose a different form of art. So for example, last night, we were doing ink printing and looking at different ways of making blocks and how we can use ink for sketching. Sometimes we're doing sculptures, sometimes we're doing painting, sometimes we just post a different theme and then we put out all different forms and modes of art for people to just experience But the idea of the group is just to socialise with that common interest of art. It's a really, really popular group, and it's really good for young people to be creative.
Is it also another outlet for young people? Maybe those, and listen, you get people that probably play a GA match on a Saturday and come during the week. I'm not saying these are different groups of individuals, but is it important to have different outlets for different people with different interests?
Absolutely. That's the response we get a lot of time from parents is, oh, you know, my young one, they're not really interested in sport, so what else is there available? And I think that's where we really meet that need there, those creative outlets. So, you know, we have art, we have a pop-up studio that we're using for music production, for recording. We're looking at podcasting as a new venture that we're going into at the moment.
Easy. Don't need any extra
We're not taking your job there, Greg, don't worry. Looking at lots of different forms of creative outlets is really good for young people's, like, their social health, their mental health, and then as well we have our sporting groups as well to meet the need there for physical health.
Of course, yeah, exactly. It's about inclusion, not exclusion.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, obviously, North Central, Donegal, Letterkenny, Rimelton, Rathmellon, Kerry, Kilkill, Macrennan, Termonde, Carrigart, Cranford, Dennis, we can see the surrounding. Are similar services available elsewhere in the county? Or is this... Now, you've cast quite a wide net, don't get me wrong, but I'm just curious, I'm not asking you to name them, but are there similar services available elsewhere?
Yeah, so the Elevate 55 project works in that area, as you've described there, Greg, but the Donegal Youth Service is an umbrella over the whole of the county. So we have the Aspire project, and they work predominantly with the youth clubs around the county, and the youth clubs, as Gareth mentioned earlier, is a really great source of support.
Yeah.
We have Aspire Inner Sherwin as well, and they're offering those different social groups and activities that young people can link in with. We're far-reaching right across the county.
Gareth, you're always, I presume, looking to develop services. I don't know if stuff's seasonal or whatever, heading into autumn, winter now. Any plans upcoming you can reveal?
I suppose at the minute, Greg, we're definitely heavily involved in work around youth employability. That's a huge agenda for us, and we have a different number of programs trying to direct that, from our Youthscape to your TYESI, Targeted Youth Employment Support Initiative, which is coming on stream literally as we speak. So that's kind of an area that we're very much interested in, is helping young people, I suppose, not just get out there and get into the labour force, but also to hold down that job, to have that employability, have that consistency, that dedication, the resilience, the problem-solving skill set that is so much needed now. So that would be one big area for us at the moment.
Yeah. And a big focus I want to get in today is connecting people listening with the services, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're there, the people are there, but how do you get involved? The loft's quite simple. It's a drop-in, free Wi-Fi, tea or coffee, pool, table tennis, great events around St. Patrick's Day that aren't focused on booze and drugs, that kind of stuff. You just call into that, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the beauty of what we call an integrated youth service. Our headquarters, if you like, on the Port Road is basically the base for everything we do. And young people, families, parents, anybody can call in there. And in fact, Greg, I suppose I'm a bit of the statistician about the service, and I always remember looking at our stats annually and seeing things like we would have a footfall through that building in the region of 40 to 50,000. So there's a lot of traffic comes in each and every day, and a lot of our information gets out there, to be honest, through word of mouth. You can rely on a lot of the other medias, and radio is fantastic for us as well. They broaden that reach.
Who I speak to right now, it's not a kid, right? It's a grandparent, yep, or a parent or an uncle or aunt that feels that there's something missing in the young person in their life's life. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. I mean, we're not going to be reaching the people that you're reaching, right? But who we are reaching are parents who see in their child something and see how they might benefit from something like this. And if we can help that one family, that's why I'm doing it. But I fully take your point. In terms of one-on-one supports, what's available there?
One-on-one, yeah, is kind of a huge area for us at the minute as well, Greg. And we would categorize that under our umbrella term of Youth Talk. So that's a service that's available, and all the youth workers would be trained in Youth Talk. So they have the facility within their time frames to meet with young people in a one-to-one. That can be in the building, can be out of the building, in different locations, and just have that listening ear. You know, that one good adult that can sit there and meet with them and help them talk through some of the issues that they're experiencing. You know, they can be transient. It could be an issue with an exam coming up next week. It could be a bigger issue with, you know, family structures or breakdowns in the family unit. It can be anything and everything. But that ability where they can come
And I must ask, as someone's going to text in, 88 to 21 years of age, you know, where's the parental role in this? Do you have to be able to give them a confidential space to speak to you if they were talking about something that's concerning? Do you refer it to the parents, or is it a case that the service is such that you need to give them that confidential space to talk? I'm on about child protection here because, as I say, it's just been a bit of a theme over the last couple of days.
Very much so.
And someone's going to text in, yeah. So I want to cover that now.
And I think, in fairness there, Greg, we're very much at keeping the family, the parents, the mums and dads involved here as well. But ultimately, for the young person that comes into a youth talk session, there would be consent needed from the parent in the first instance, and then we would operate in terms of the harm principle, that the young person can share with us the experiences that they're having, and we would keep that confidential until the point of which we would determine that they're at risk themselves or at the risk of harming someone else. At that point, and we would make this clear to the young people, then we would have to breach that confidentiality and refer that, get parents involved and get whatever support.
Well, there's a framework there of within which you operate, that it's not exclusive to this service.
Exactly.
It's right across the board. All right, then, Laura, final shout out. Why should people get involved with either Elevate 55 or as the umbrella, the youth services, the Donegal Youth Service?
I think you really hit the nail on the head when you kind of were describing earlier about finding a place. And so many young people that we speak to that come into our service then socialise with other young people and are like, oh, okay, I have found my place. I have found some other young people that have common interests like me, that I've got something in common with, and we can use this space here to socialise. So it's just a really good place to come in, to meet other people, to have that support from youth workers, so it's a supervised space as well. And then also, that's where we can signpost you from into all of the different services that are available, both within our service and then countywide as well. We've got great links in with all of the services. So coming to us as like a focus point, and then we can look at what's best for that young person and how to offer the best support for them.
All right, lovely stuff. Great to chat to two of you again. Anything you want to add? You look
just pensive. One wee thing there. I always take every opportunity just to mention things. Internet safety and online activity for kids is very, very important and very topical at the minute. And I just wanted to give a wee shout out to the fact that we have a Parents Guide to Device Safety, a free booklet, so like a 60, 70 page booklet we produced a while back, and it's there. If any parent wants a copy of that, give us a shout. We have ones here today, but if they can't get there, come online or come into the office and we'll gladly supply them with you.
Lovely stuff. Thanks both of you very much indeed. Gareth Gibson, Youth Information Manager with Donegal Youth Services. Laura Byrne, Elevate 55, Youth Worker with Donegal Services. We'll be back with more on this programme. It is the 9 till noon show, you know, after we take this break. It's the 9 till noon show here in Highland. We're broadcasting from the Radisson Hotel here in Letterkenny, and it's great to get to meet loads of guests, loads of people that are here. Dozens and dozens of organisations with pop-up stands where there's an opportunity for you to come in. I'd like to see more of a footfall here. I know it's early, but come on, folks. You can speak to the Donegal County Childcare Committee, Letterkenny Women's Centre, St. Vincent de Paul, the Intercultural Platform. You can hear about fostering with TUSLA, the Donegal Youth Service, who we've just been speaking to. Alcohol Forum Ireland are here. There's information about stopping smoking, or it could be vaping for that matter. We've heard about the Children and Young People's Services Committee, the Parent Hub Donegal, and on it goes and on and on and on, which is fantastic. Owen McFadden's a service coordinator with the Irish Wheelchair Association in Donegal. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning, Greg. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. How are you getting on?
Not bad at all. I'd like this opportunity, Greg, to thank yourself and Highland Radio.
Yes.
The fundraiser you did earlier on in the year. Good success there. We have secured a new bus.
Yes.
And we will be having it probably mid-next year.
And what are you going to call it? The Greg Hughes bus.
The Greg Hughes bus.
Even though I had nothing to do with it.
We'll take it down. We'll take it down for the launch.
Well, come here.
All joking aside, a great success.
How important is it to have successful fundraising like that and to be able to refresh your inventory of materials? Because the people, listen, are there. They're doing amazing work. But, you know, you really need the tools, don't you?
You do need the tools. Donegal is a very rural area.
Yeah.
A lot of public transport on, but it just doesn't have the spots we're coming from. We're going into the back ends of Donegal, taking people from the houses and the homes, taking them into the centres. And you need transport to do that there.
And a modern vehicle that's fully accessible converted. And it catches up with wherever we need to be.
And you might look at it and say, we're getting a new Sprinter now, and normally could hold up to 16, 20 people, normal able-bodied people. When you have wheelchairs and everything, that capacity is greatly reduced.
So about what, six?
About six, maybe
yeah,
three chairs.
Though,
three
yeah.
chairs at
three,
the very most. Yeah.
Three chairs.
And then people with other levels of ability.
Yeah. But we were lucky. We applied to Clare Funding after we got the donation from yourselves. And we were successful in that there. We had the part fund application. So by getting £8,000, we were able to put that towards it and made up the difference, and we were successful in our application.
Fantastic. And listen, it might have been through Highland, but it's the general the generosity of the wider wider community, because that's what it's all about.
That's
the theme of today. This is about us. We all live here, right? And we're helping each other in different ways.
Yes.
Nicole Sheridan, I introduced you already. You're Service Support Officer. Talk to me a little bit about the work that you do.
Yep. I support the service users in Donegal to attend the day centres. I help organise the activities in the centres and the outings in the community. So it could be anything from going surfing in Rosnoula to going to the theatre, cinema, shopping trips, Christmas shopping, apart from this time of the year. We help people to go to respite down in Ballinasloe. We have a hotel down there, Shearwater, so the people, we bring people down there, so it's great because they wouldn't get to go away mm-hmm. normally, and they get into a normal hotel with everybody else, and they feel a part of the community.
I know this sounds like a strange way to say it, and I hope people understand my motivation, but I love when I see people in a wheelchair out. Or people with another with a disability or with challenges, is because mm-hmm. often, you know, it's not invisible, right? But you know they're there, and I often wonder, well, where are these people? Are they stuck in the home? Is society not? I don't know what it is. So it always gives me great pleasure, and I think it's fantastic that the Irish Wheelchair Association ensure mm-hmm. that people can leave their homes. And get out and do everything that everyone does. Why shouldn't they?
That would be correct, Greg. And a lot of what we're doing up there at the moment is building the service around the person rather than the members coming into the centre and just us planning for them. A lot of the times in the public domain, the wheelchair is seen as a barrier.
Yeah.
That perception now is kind of going a lot more. And we're seeing now how do you get around that barrier. And just because somebody's in a wheelchair for a short period of time, they may be able to walk a distance and everything. So there's plenty of opportunity there to explore that. But the main thing is, treat people as equal, treat them as equal, and allow them to do the normal things themselves like to do.
Yes, and I hope it's not the case, but I'm sure it is the case as well. I would say there is at least some people that use assist that have been frustrated over the years of trying to park their own vehicle, for an example, because their parking space has been taken up, that even public buildings aren't as accessible as they should be, that even street furniture or cheese boards are out in the street where they shouldn't be, and eventually they, you know, withdraw into their surroundings because life's too tough.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's people you engage with that you've given them, they shouldn't have to. We need to think more broadly as a society and inclusively, but I presume there's bound to be some that you give that independence back to, albeit with assistance. Nicole,
definitely. Like, our centre has an accessible toilets with hoists and all that there, so we can support the people when they come in, and then when we plan outings, we try to plan it around where we know there's accessible toilets. That is a big thing with us, because not every toilet is accessible. It's fit for everybody, unfortunately.
No, I had my eyes opened on that with a family member.
Yeah.
You see the thing on the door.
Yeah.
Now, we had a good laugh. This fella's got a great sense of humour, right? But the sign on the door was wheelchair friendly, but, you know,
it opened my eyes because
I walked past these doors believing that it was almost like the TARDIS in behind the door, that you open the door in this wonderful space, but no, it was just a box ticking.
Yeah, it's built to a certain standard as well, Greg, they're applying to building legislation at the time, but as I say, disabilities come, like, some people need less room in the toilet, some people need more, and it's the cater for the person, there's high dependency as well.
And their carers as well, with the hoists and what have you as well. The socialites, who wants to talk to me about the socialites?
Yeah, the socialites are a younger group that attend our centre. They don't come to the day centre per se. They meet in the evening time once a month, and then they plan all their outings in the community. So we were in Dublin there recently. We stayed up for 3 nights. They go to the Shearwater, as I said, in Ballinasloe, theatre, shopping trips, eating out, going to the pub, normal things that everybody else do.
Yeah.
That's what they plan.
I mean, in terms of sort of accessibility and service, I think we do quite well up here. Of course, we had, you know, recently with the opening of accessible toilets. That's for all, not just people in wheelchairs. We've got that fantastic initiative, I think you alluded to, in Rosnala, which we're blessed to have. And if they could take 3 times as many people, we'd be fit to fill it, right? But people travel all over the country to that. So we are making some positive inroads. We just have to keep that momentum.
Exactly.
If someone wants to engage with the Irish Wheelchair Association and see what supports are available to them.
Yeah, if they contact us in the office on 07491 77448.
You've just given your home number, you know.
No, I didn't.
Give it to us one more time.
You put me on the spot now, I can't remember. It's 07491 77448.
That's it, okay.
If they contact us in the office and ask for either myself or Owen or any of the guilty answer the phone, we'll be able to point them in the right direction.
Yeah, and you would back that 100%, Owen?
I definitely would.
Yeah.
On the other side of the thing there as well, Greg, is that we have vacancies as well available on community employment there.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's interested in getting a career in healthcare, come and have a chat with us. See, can we help them out? No experience, no nothing necessary. We'll give all the training. And a big shout out to all our staff as well, because at the end of the day, we couldn't deliver the service without the flexibility the staff are giving us. Mm. And I must say, I'm blessed with the staff I have as well.
Yeah, definitely. They're very good now.
I mean, listen, you do absolutely amazing work. We'd all agree with that.
Yeah.
Congratulations on the new bus. It joins a fleet now. You've got a number of buses right around the county, don't you?
We have 4 buses at the moment, yes.
Brilliant, okay. Right, and well done to all the listeners to Highland Radio that helped support that, where we were able to hand over a trek for 8,000, which was match funding, I suppose you'd call it, or partial funding to the grant from...
Clare Funding.
I want to mention that because...
Yeah.
They're
important, yeah.
They're funding streams, and they're
funding streams
work.
And it helps so many organisations nationally, so we'll greatly appreciate it, Clare, as well. Yeah.
All right, it's been lovely talking to both of you. Owen McFadden, Service Coordinator with the Irish Wheelchair Association in Donegal, and, of course, also Nicole Sheridan, Service Support Officer. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Lovely to speak to both of you again. We're live here from the Radisson Hotel. The hours have flown by. We're 2.5 hours in, another half hour to go. But the event, that's for us, by the way, but the event runs until 3. The talks are going to begin about 11. I believe the first one is on smoking cessation. Then there are alcohol action forum action Ireland, alcohol, Paula Leonard's association, I'll get the name right in a sec. There's a speak, a chat there from 12 to 1, and then from 1 to 2 a conversation about positive mental health, and then from 2 to 3 a talk about exercise. So all your bases are covered as to how you can start feeling better about yourself and live a longer, but more importantly, a healthier, a more active life. And also a ton of pop-up information centres here that you can come down and see as well. It's a free event, by the way. You can just roll on in here and say hello. There's tea and coffee and all that jazz. Right, we're going to be speaking to a familiar voice to Highland Radio after we take this quick
Watch
break.
Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. I'm going to say a good morning now to Chris. Chris, I did not know why you were here.
Well, I'm usually with you on a Wednesday.
No, but it's an outside 1 second. So, Chris, it's Business Matters.
It is indeed.
And business does matter. And the podcast is available to our listeners right about now. I'll fire the jingle towards the end of this item. Don't worry about that. But talk to me about some business news. Do I have notes, Caroline? Do I have notes? I do. Right. Invest Donegal Communications update. What's going on there?
Yeah, just...
I'm a professional, by the way. I just want you to know that. It's just a slight blip. Go ahead, Chris.
Now, interesting to note that Invest Donegal, which is on social media platforms to encourage people to look at the county as a destination. Now, for the latest period, that was the 20th of August to the 7th of September, impressive figures here. They had more than 10,000 impressions on their LinkedIn. 4,400 people had looked at the tweets. Instagram, 37,000. So people are looking at Invest Donegal, and also many people aware of the Go Visit Donegal website, and it had a Facebook reach during that period, over a month, of more than 110,000. So Donegal is on the map digitally and getting the good word out.
Yeah, it really is very, very good. Buy Donegal campaign launch, that's another initiative. It's another hashtag.
Yes, just to give a bit of advance notice of this, the Buy Donegal campaign will get underway in November and it'll run over a series of 6 or 8 weeks, covering a range of sectors, teams and events, all promoting Donegal businesses to not just a local audience, but indeed to a global audience. And from the feedback of other years, you know, businesses do definitely get a lift from that.
All right, a golf story next, is it?
Ghost story.
Golf? No? What's this? The Council Tourism Unit working with Derek Steer Foundation for the Open. Is that not golf?
Sorry. I thought it said ghost.
And then I corrected it.
Halloween
and said golf.
Theme,
you still looked at me like I had two heads. Hey, queer Chris.
Yes.
Sorry about this.
The Council's Tourism Unit is working with Visit Donegal to prepare for accommodation. The Open is taking place in Portrush in 2025, so there'll be a spin-off for Donegal and collaboration with Visit Derry to make sure that people who are coming to the Northwest, that they don't just go to Derry, that they look at Donegal for accommodation, and there's going to be thousands of people coming. So
there's a big spin-off. It's getting the message across, isn't it, that we're close by.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you can make it part of your trip as well. All right. Okay, brilliant stuff. Now, two main topics on this week's podcast, Chris.
Yes, first up, looking at the Northwest Future of Energy Conference, which will take place on Thursday, November the 7th at Ebrington Square in Derry, sponsored by SSE Renewables. Now, this is an annual cross-border event, and there'll be energy suppliers, industry buyers, policymakers, lots of people there, all to do with green energy and renewables. And Highland Radio is a media partner for the conference. Now, to find out more about it, I spoke with Tony Forrester, the Chief Executive of Letterkenny Chamber, and also Anna Doherty, the Chief Executive of Londonderry Chamber. And in this clip, we hear from Tony Forrester, who believes that the whole green energy sector has considerable potential for new jobs in the Northwest region.
I had a conversation a while back about just about general sustainability, not just energy. It's going to be thousands of jobs in this sector as we go forward. You know, so for young people, there's definitely opportunities to look at sustainability management within companies. But it can be very small stuff, Chris. You know, it can be just people looking at how they do some very small items, what they do with their waste. So sustainability goes across every single business. And I think as a chamber, we want to embrace that. And we're seeing companies doing more and more. So I think the conference, while it's energy, is back to that. How do we get our targets met? How do we help to get their targets met? So the business community always wants to get involved. Sometimes they don't know how. And this is going to help them, hopefully, to look at that.
Yes, indeed. Tony Forrester there.
Yeah, so it's a conference that, you know, obviously there's a lot coming down the track in terms of renewable energy, and they'll be looking at all sorts of projects and also helping to further the cause for the Northwest.
Yeah, and it's great to be a media partner there as well. All right, your next guest on the show.
Now, in Inishowen's, a big month for McDade's Bathroom Plumbing Tiles in Buncrana. They're celebrating 50 years in business. And we have another clip, and this one we'll hear from Brigin McDade, or Brigin Harkin, a director and showroom sales manager. And she recalls how her late father, PJ McDade, began the business back in 1974.
It was founded in 1974 by our late parents, PJ and Bridget McDade. And it's been a family-run business all down through the years, which is great. PJ himself was just a natural salesman. He started off by heading off to Scotland in the 1960s and the early 70s. And then he came back home with my mum, Bridget, and the two oldest girls, and they set up in the Isle of Doe. So the business started down in the Isle at our home house, and it developed from there. And he set up here in Buncrana in 1995. And then the rest is history, as I say. It is a milestone this year. We have 50 years to celebrate.
Isn't it amazing, Chris, 50 years in business and the changes that you've seen in styles, some of the tiles, some of our old tiles. I mean, they were of a time, I'm sure they were fashionable, and we didn't, I don't know where we got them, but things have changed now, and the WCs and the sinks and whatever. I'd say they've seen some change in style and trends and what have you over the years, but 50 years in business, what a remarkable achievement.
Yeah, and Highland Radio will actually be down next Friday. John Breslin around the Northwest will be broadcasting from McDade's there in Cockhill in Buncrana, so it's a big day for them, and they have a number of prizes and they have a golden ticket, and lots happening, and well done to all involved.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. So the Business Matters podcast available right now for you. You can hear the full extended interview there with Tony Forrester, and also much more about McDade's bathroom plumbing tiles in Buncrana. Bridgine McDade's the interviewee there. And if people want to download it, listen to it right now, you can. If they want to listen to it on the radio, Chris?
Yes, it'll be broadcast on Sunday after the 6 o'clock news.
And if anyone wants, don't try and take my lines. If anyone wants to contact you, how do they do so?
You can email me on businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
It's funny, you know, with such creatures of habit, Chris, when you sat down, I hadn't a clue what you were doing here. I think you said to Caroline, you know, how much time do we have? And I was like, well, what am I speaking to Chris about? But it's Wednesday and it's Business Matters. And listen, thanks so much for calling down. It's great to have you. It's great to have you in person. All right, brilliant stuff. Thank you very much indeed, our very own Chris Ashmore there. His podcast, our podcast, available for you right now on our website. That's highlandradio.com. You can stream it from the website or download it and listen to it at your leisure. And also, there are tons of former podcasts that are available for you there. Right, let me see. We are going to some of your comments right now. Sorry, can I please get a shout out to the best mammy in the world, Geraldine Perry from Glenties, who's 70 years young today, and it's from her favourite son, Peter, in England. All right, okay. I'm sure you are, Peter. On to some comments here. Where are our moral guardians, the clergy and the church on the SPHE issue? Seem to have disappeared from the debate. I wonder why. Greg, is it time for an open debate with the service providers involved in SPHE? Do other counties have the same problem? I think I read that one a little earlier on, but there's some that I didn't get to. This is a separate issue here. Morning, in relation to the resurfacing of the Cockhill Road in Buncrana, it seems that it will not be done until next year. This is shocking. It is easily seen that Jack Murray and Finan Bradley do not drive on this road on a daily, as they said they'd wait. The wait would be worth it. Do me a favour. Do your job for the people that elected you. Our homes and now our cars are falling to bits because of that. Because of that service. Look, at the end of the day, your councillors, regardless of what party, and those are from Fianna Fáil and Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin, is they can't make it happen either. Caroline, can you grab me some of those cookies? Because I've been told I have to take some home. I just need three. That'll do. Is the electricity off in Drumkeen? I'm not really quite sure. I'm sure it might be temporarily. I'll check into that and get back to you. Paul McGinley for Donegal Person of the Year, with his roots in Dunfanaghy. He's put Donegal on the map 5 years ago when he brought the Irish Open to beautiful Inishowen, always promoting the county. Time he was recognised. And do you know what? Paul's a great shout. I'm surprised if he hasn't received that already. He has done an awful lot to promote this county on an international scale. And he also is working with courses in the county, I believe Dunfanaghy and Merva, might be more than them. I think it's time that parents took control of their children's education. What's going on in this country? We do need to take control back. If I had school-going children at the minute, I'd be homeschooling them. Okay. Annette is brilliant at muddying the water with buzzwords without addressing the substantive issues. Now, I believe she did address those issues. Whether you like the answers or not, I think, is really what it comes down to. A lady says that they didn't approve the textbook. What? How is that even possible? So the publisher basically decide the content. Yeah, it seems that is crazy and is an actual throwing fuel in the flames of this controversy. The book is there. There's all manner of stuff in the book, but the teachers are taught what to teach from that book. Some parents will go, that's not happening at all, and blah, 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 which is a very important point of view. And others will believe what's being taught in the book isn't. which will also be a bit of a blah-blah situation for them on the other side, in inverted commas. But anyway, the caller goes on to say, so the publisher basically decides the content. How is that an understandable misunderstanding? No other subject decided a topic and lets the publisher just print what they want. Someone needs to be held responsible for this on two reasons. The unknown content of the book, which hopefully will not be used. And two, again, the expensive waste of money on free books, which costs the state dreadful, they say. Interesting that she's given space to talk. Oh, I've read that one. She's given space to talk, but you interrupted Rebecca every time. On these travels up and down the country to meet parents, did you show them the 9 or 10 books from each year to choose from? That's the teachers that do that. There is a ton of stuff in the books, and the teachers were told, whether you trust it or not, are told what to teach and how to teach from that book. And I think that's me close to being up to date on those that are coming in. Hey, I'm loving the show. I don't know if you can help me, but I was allocated 8 hours social hours per week. The Irish Wheelchair Association have tried everything to help me. The problem is that the HSE won't fund these hours. I live in the country area and I can no longer drive as a result of a brain tumor. Maybe someone at the Radisson can help me. Right, so we're gonna chase that up, right? I'm not really quite sure what social hours are in the context of the Irish Wheelchair Association, but please leave that with us. We have direct contact with people. We have your number as well, and we'll try and get a resolution to that, or at least an answer for you. All right, we'll be back with the final quarter of this hour of this show after this break. Okie doke. So, during the afternoon and evening, more persistent rain will spread from the south. A mild day. Temperatures 15 to 17 degrees in light to moderate southerly winds. If you live in low-lying coast, just be careful, because I'm told there's very high spring tides, albeit being autumn. It's not a seasonal thing. Very high spring tides, they'll bring a chance of a coastal flooding. Now, Paula Leonard, CEO of the Alcohol Forum Ireland, joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you. Thanks so much, Paula. Great to see you again.
Yeah, how are you, Greg?
I am doing fabulous.
There's a bit of a buzz here.
There is a bit of a buzz, and the buzz is building, which is great. You're going to be speaking a little later on.
I am, about 13 minutes.
What's the theme of your talk?
Well, I suppose I was just talking to Caroline on Highland in relation to that. Alcohol harm is so huge and so vast, and it impacts every area of our lives. So this morning, narrowly, I'm going to be focusing on the risk of alcohol in relation to cancer.
Do we want to hear that? Is that part of the problem?
I know.
Do we want to stick our fingers in our ears and go la 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 la? No, it's important we do. My point is that, you know, I mean, you're the bearer of bad news. Ruining something for many people is a bit of fun.
Yeah.
But I think as responsible adults, we have to open our ears and hear all information and make the right choices.
Yeah. So
because there are very just demonstrable links between cancer and alcohol.
I suppose I'm often referred to as the joy police. But look, there you go. I think the thing we need to bear in mind is that, you know, alcohol, the alcoholic beverages content used to be around 2%, 2.5% alcohol. We're now drinking much stronger alcoholic beverages, and with that comes an increased risk of cancer. So we know since 2012 that alcohol has been categorized as a group 1 carcinogen, which means it's in the same category as tobacco, it's in the same category as asbestos. And we're not reluctant to talk about that link.
No.
So it's only when it comes to something that, you know, we are reluctant to think about and hear that we want to close our ears and our brains to that. Mm-hmm. And I think the message for me is always, you know, drink if you want to, but drink in an informed way.
Okay, but with asbestos, okay, if I remove an old asbestos roof, I inhale the asbestos, presumably it damages my lungs and can trigger cancer. If I smoke, you can get throat cancer, you can get lung cancer because of the chemicals that you're...
Yep.
So I get that, right? But if I drink, you know, I'm not asking, I know you're not a medical professional, but I wonder, maybe that's why people don't necessarily... can't see as clearly the link between cancers.
I don't know.
Alcohol?
If you think about the cancers that alcohol, you know, has a leading role in,
yes.
We're talking about mouth cancer, where we take it in. We're talking about throat cancer. We're talking about the gut.
Yeah.
We're talking about basically everywhere that alcohol travels through our body. Mm. Unfortunately for women, we're also talking about breast cancer. And I think, you know, as a woman who's very interested in women's health, that's a really important message to get out to people. Because if you reduce your alcohol consumption, you reduce your risk. And I think that's something we need to be thinking about. It's something we need to know about. 1 in 8 breast cancers in this country are directly a result of alcohol consumption.
One in?
Eight.
Right.
At a European level, they estimate that it's possibly one in 10. But for us, because of our patterns of alcohol consumption, because we drink more when we drink, you know, that figure, the numbers of studies that have been done would suggest that it's one in every eight breast cancers. And that's not something I hear anybody else talking about generally in the population. So I think that today, sitting at the Letterkenny Community Forum, that's worth talking about and that's worth thinking about.
And as you say, it's to give people the knowledge. That's what you can do, isn't it? You're not policing people's habits. You're giving people that knowledge. And there's another interesting conference coming up, alcohol-related brain injury. Talk to me a little bit about that.
So Alcohol Forum Ireland has delivered supports to people with an alcohol-related brain injury for roughly 15 years. We're one of the only places in the country that has a dedicated sort of support worker for alcohol-related brain injury, Monica Koblarska in our own team. But we have been struggling with that service because, you know, alcohol-related brain injury patients don't have the same options in relation to care as if they were involved in a traumatic brain injury. So if I go out and I crash my car, I'm entitled to rehabilitation, to residential treatment, to neuro occupational therapy, all of those therapies and supports that I need. If that brain injury happens to be as a result of alcohol, those doors close to me. So, you know, our work has become more and more difficult in that space because there aren't those allied health professionals that are available to work with that client base. So on the 14th of November in Sligo, actually, we're having the first national conference there has ever been on that. And it's going to be people from across sort of geriatrics, mental health, disability, people who work in addiction services. We only advertised it this week and already we've had people booking from Belfast, from Cork, from Dublin.
And who are you reaching with that? It's not necessarily the general public, is it?
No.
It's various disciplines that would have a stake in this area.
Yeah, it's absolutely. This isn't a for the public conference. This is a practitioners conference. And the reason for that is not because we want to close the door to anybody who's interested in the topic, but because services need to get their act together.
Well, that's what I think, you know, we sort of not half joked, but a little earlier on about how you're the
joy police.
The joy police, right? But I think sometimes that's aggravated by the fact that sometimes you're a lone voice, not you necessarily as an individual, but as a forum.
Yep.
That, you know, that some obvious stuff, it doesn't seem to make sense, that why isn't this information being backed by other organisations or what have you? Well, trying to get everyone on the same page?
I think there's a stigma and a nihilism in relation to alcohol, and particularly in relation to alcohol brain injury. There's this notion that people got themselves into this bother, so somehow they're not entitled to the same supports as everybody else. And at a really important message is that it's not a hopeless condition.
No.
And in neurology terms, it's actually a more hopeful condition than other progressive neurological disorders.
It's not a disease, though.
No, it's a disorder.
I'm just wondering, you know, because
it's a brain injury.
Yeah.
It's a brain injury, the same as any other at that level of the brain.
Sorry,
and people recover.
Yeah, I meant alcoholism.
You know, 25% of people can make a full recovery from an alcohol-related brain injury if we could organise ourselves to have pathways of care for them.
All right, we have Paula Leonard here at the Radisson. She's going to be giving a talk at 12 about alcohol and cancer. And as I say, so it's that we make informed decisions. We're so slow on our conversations about alcohol that our problems with drugs are racing up on the inside rail and have almost overtaken. And we see that in terms of, you know, detection figures and what have you.
I think it's really important to bear in mind when you're talking about that far more people die directly as a result of alcohol.
Yes, but I'm on about coming up the inside.
Yeah.
That is as we speak.
Absolutely.
But whilst we are not doing enough in that, we've another problem emerging.
We do.
And that is, do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I do.
I'm not comparing the two.
but no, they're all drugs, Greg.
There's just a lot of young people now that probably won't drink but are abusing drugs. But Paula, listen, keep up the great work that you do.
I'm going to leave you over to Bill.
Yes, because you are prepping for your talk at 12.
Thanks so
much.
A million.
Always
lovely
pleasure,
to talk to you. Bye.
Always a pleasure, Paula Leonard. Bill Vaughan, Development Officer with Mental Health Ireland. Bill, good morning to you. You're going to be speaking a little later on. You're giving a talk at 1 p.m. on personal mental health. So what's the main points you'll be getting across?
Greg, how are you doing?
Good morning,
thanks,
Bill,
for the invite to talk. And you have a great setup here, I must say. The talk will be on the personal side of mental health as opposed to kind of, we hear a lot of campaigns around exercise is good for mental health, sleep is good for mental health. And we, you know, a lot of people know that. Most people know that anyway. And the problems lie more with lack of awareness of mental health and lack of awareness of self. And that's understandable because when we go through our younger years, the teenage years, there's not much focus on that, on preparing people to cope with adulthood. And adulthood isn't a cakewalk. There's a lot of challenges come our way. And, you know, if you look at the problems in the country, you can see a lot of it are related to stress and mental health, mental illness related issues.
Yeah. And it's about tooling people up as well, isn't it? You know, I mean, I think a lot of the problems we've identified, there's lots of ways that people can help themselves, and there's lots of services to help people with mental health issues. And I think a lot of people maybe sometimes need to recognise or identify mental health issues that they might have themselves. A lot of people tolerate it.
Yes. No one thinks of mental illness until it comes along into their house, be it with themselves or with a family member. Then the first thing they think of is the GP, the doctor. So they go to the doctor, and then it's usually along the formal lines of, okay, we're going to send you to the mental health services. There'll be maybe a bit of a waiting time or whatever. What people don't understand is the community support groups that are out there. Like today being an example of all, you know, if you walk around the room today, there are some fantastic organisations.
There really is a lot, isn't there?
Yeah, that support mental health.
And we've talked to many of those, Bill, and I just wanted a quick word to give people notice that you're speaking at one, and I think it's going to be a really worthwhile conversation, and there's still time for people. You just come down to the Radisson and you walk on in. Paula Leonard's going to be taking the stand shortly, and that's going to be followed by Bill Vaughan. We've spoken in the past. We'll speak many times into the future, but for now, thank you very much for joining
us. Thanks.
Take care of yourself, and that's where we have to leave it on the 9 till noon show today. I want to thank Mary Walker Callaghan and her team at the Letterkenny Community Health Forum for hosting us here. Also, Paul Byrne and Peter and their teams at the beautiful Radisson Hotel. It's absolutely wonderful here. I want to thank Caroline Orr, who researched and produced, assisted by Shannon, and Joe Dex, who kept us on air. We're back in studio tomorrow, of course. But for now, stay tuned. John Bresson is coming up around the Northwest after we take a quick commercial break. Have a great day, everyone.